that, don't it? Anyway, so it didn't dawn on me that we didn't, how we announced it. So, but I told Sister Smith this morning, I said, it was Brother Michael. I said, I'm assuming that the church knows we changed it for dinner day, that we're going to have dinner, clean the church, then they'll have a youth service downstairs like we do always on dinner day. So, because we missed the cleaning of the church last week. So, anyway, I just thought I'd announce that. How many of y'all was expecting it to be that way? Raise your hand. All right. Then how many of you didn't know? Raise yours. Yeah. All right. Good to have Brother Crow and Sister Crow with us today. Praise God. Let's see if I can pick out anybody else I need to be mentioning out there. Alex, you've been missing her. She's been in college, doing her college deal. Glad to see her. All right. Well, let's just let her toes run all the way out to the end of her shoes and relax and let God have his way today.
He holds be here this morning. So many things went through my mind singing that song, Sister Jody. In all the areas that God can help us. First, I'd like to thank the Lord for holding me. Then I'd like to thank all of you for your prayers. Someone must have touched the Lord and asked for a miracle. All I can tell you is that I remember telling Sister Sherry, I need your address. And I'll send Brother Mark $5,000 and that'll make him feel better. I got to that back door. I remember that. After that, it was like I had a blackout. I'm not sure. But from the fall, I did hit my head pretty hard. And I had a headache for a couple of days. And I had a concern if I blacked out. I said, Lord, I'm going up to the church and look at the spot. If I blacked out, I'm certainly in trouble. So I came up to the church and just parked under the awning, and there was still a sheet of ice on that spot where I fell. So I touched my head, no bleeding or anything like that. Thank you for all your calls, all your jokes. A fall like that, I should have been bruised up, but I got up through the night and got a snack. And someone, but I had this headache. And Jacob was staying with me a couple of nights. I said, dude, if I act funny through the night, come to check on me, would you? I said, I failed at the church. Oh, man, what's wrong with you? I said, man, I hit a patch of ice. And so he came and checked on me, but just about every time he got up, I was getting up. So anyway, I wanted to be the first to say thank you, Lord, for holding me. I don't have any bruises, anything like that. And I had such a concern, I thought, if I can get something from the Word of God, Job can help me. And I began to read the book of Job and all the troubles that he had, but he still magnified God. So if he hung the moon, I know someone was standing by holding me. A fall like that, my back should be out of whack or something. But I felt good. So I'm thankful. I thought all through the day, I'm glad I'm acquainted with the Lord. I'm glad I'm in his care. And often when our band plays, sheltered in the arms of God, that's where I want to stay. Before I leave home of a morning, Lord, I want to be in your care throughout the day. I want to be in your wonderful hand of safety. That's my testimony for today. I'm thankful that I'm here, part of this wonderful family. Keep praying for me.
It's good, as Brother Daniels has said already, to be at the house of God today. Appreciate God looking out for Brother Daniels and helping him. We was very much concerned about him, but God helped him. We know that. So I'm thankful tonight, today that we are here and have this opportunity to serve God. And thinking about that scripture Brother Smith was giving us this morning in Bible study on Ecclesiastes 7th chapter, saying that a wise man's heart is in the house of mourning. And he's talking about it's better to mourn than mourning is better than laughter, I believe, something like that. But sorrow is better than laughter. And I was thinking about the scripture he was reading this morning, and I was thinking that, you know, there are things that has to keep us grounded. And I was thinking that that scripture, and in light of life itself, you know, we have to be grounded. We have to be able to know where, you know, everything, you know,
where God is and where our assistance and our help. And we, you can, you know, we have laughter in this life and we have fun things, but after all, we have to be grounded in the things of God. And I know that knowing where our help comes from and knowing where we can get help, like we're saying, you know, God can help us. If He did all of those things out there, hanging the moon and all these things, then that's the kind of God we're serving, and He can help us. Of course, He wants us to, you know, be at least acknowledge Him and call on Him. You know, if you got help available, if you don't ask for it, then you may not, you know, He may not help you. But I want to know. I do appreciate the people that bring things to light to us and let us know that the kind of God that we're serving, and to realize that I can learn more about Him. And that's what I love about it, is I read the Bible and I see where, you know, people, you know, forget God. You know, God bless them. You know, look at the lepers that Jesus healed. You know, only one of them came back and thanked Him. And you thank in life, you know, you realize. I remember my wife and I got married. We both were working, you know, had pretty good jobs, and we didn't. We were just kind of doing our own thing, and we realized that, look, you know, we're not just doing this. God is helping us, and we started considering God, and we didn't know which way we'd go, because here we was raised in different walks of religion, and we talked about it, but I didn't want to go the way she came, and she probably wasn't really thrilled about going the way I came, so here we were. But anyway, we knew we needed God. And we knew that if God is blessing us, you know, He's doing all of this. But anyway, we was blessed to be able to meet God and to meet Him in kind of a neutral area. We weren't in. I was in religion. She was too. You know, towards being raised. But we kind of met in a independent. Her aunt went to this little mission down here at College Station. That's how we got started. I guess it was kind of neutral ground, because I didn't really want to. I kind of knew about the group that she was with, but I didn't really want to. I kind of felt like, oh, I'm not going that way. And I don't know what she said about where I was. I don't know. Apparently, she didn't want to go my way either. But you know, God is good to us, and we kind of had a neutral ground of where we met the Lord, and the Lord helped us, and I'm so thankful. Today that God did help us and let us find Him, and I don't regret a day of it, you know, serving God. And I just, you know, just sometimes I kind of have to beat myself up a little bit, but by not being as diligent as I should have been. We come to the end of a year like we are now, you know. I was thinking this morning, just if you're going to do it in 2013, you just got 2 weeks to do it. So, you know, just that way it is. You know, time get away from us, and you make assessments sometime, you know, with your health and everything else. We have made, I don't know, 3 or 4 doctor's appointments at the end of the year. I think I got one more left. So, anyway, you have to, you know, do kind of take assessments. Say, how am I doing? You know, what have I done this year? And I know it's kind of sometimes, like I say, it's sad in my case sometimes, but you still have to do it. You have to kind of look around and see how you're doing, you know. That's what they do when they give you a test, you know. They kind of say, how you doing, you know. Sometimes the results don't look too favorable, but nevertheless, you know, we need to know. I'm diabetic, you know, kind of. I am diabetic. But anyway, sometimes I take my sugar and my reading, and I think, well, it don't look too good, but I needed to know, you know. I need to know how I'm doing. Sometimes it surprises me. Sometimes I do bad. I feel good, you know. There's something about taking tests and things like that. Sometimes you take them, it can make you feel good if you do good. But when you don't do too good, you may not feel too good. But you still need to know. You need to know where you are. You know what I'm saying? And God, you know, God gives us tests, and And sometimes, you know, I like good results when I take a test, but you don't always get that. But you still need to know. You need to know what you're doing. And I appreciate the Lord. He give us tests, and he want us to know. And I need to know. I want to know, really. Sometimes I kind of, you know, want to peep, you know, say, you know, don't want to look too straight at it, but I still need to know. I need to know how I'm doing with the Lord. I need to know, and I think about that more often than not because, you know, I'm kind of on the last end of this thing for the natural life is concerned. And I think about that, you know, and I need to know. I want to know how am I doing. And I appreciate good encouragement, good words, because that does help. You know, when you get encouraging words and you know you're on the right track, you're with the right people, you know, you're learning the right things. But, you know, I might could be a little more diligent about it and more apt to do these things. And when I read about the old people in the Old Testament, I was reading in, one of the letters Paul sent to the Colossians and Colossae, and when he sent that letter, he had never met these people. You know, he sent this letter to them, and was, of course, he got the word of this church from another man, another minister, I think Epaphras or EPA, but anyway, however you pronounce it. But anyway, he got word of this people's condition. So he wanted to help them. Never met them. He sent them a letter. And I was thinking, you know, his words, I was thinking about how effective his words were to this group of people. And that he never met. He did eventually go to Colossae, but I think at first, when he sent the letter, he hadn't met him. And I was thinking, you know, Brother Paul, we was talking about, you know, having a life that's affecting. You know, our life really, it needs to be affecting. You know, we want our life to be affecting. We want to be able to help people. You know, we live in a world where people need help. You know, we're blessed to be in a government that they do a lot of help for the citizens of this country and all kind of helplines where you can call and get your questions answered and you can get a lot of help in this country if you really want it. But I was thinking, Paul and I were talking about, you know, being effective and that's what we are. We are to be effective. Our lives, and you know, I mean, you can't force anybody. You know, you can live a life that you can bring conviction. You know, you might not be able to twist anybody's arm or tell them, say, you better live this way. But you know, your life, you can live. That's the only thing I can come up with is if you can live a life that can bring conviction on people. You know, I mean, we live in this world, we had a little special election Tuesday for this Robson Auditorium thing here, and we were sitting there, you know, five of us working in there, and when this guy comes in and, you know, voting, and he said, what church do you go to? He was talking, so we all told him what church we went to, I was thinking, you know, Brother Smith was talking about what Jesus said to his disciples, you know, follow him, and I'll make you fishers of men, And I was thinking, you know, everybody, you know, pretty much everybody in there goes to church somewhere. I think one lady may not go, but anyway, I was thinking about being effective. You know, I could have gone in there to try to persuade them to follow me and go where I go, but, you know, we all told them where we went, and I guess that's all they want to know. But I was thinking our lives need to be effective, and I want to be effective. But sometimes it may just be by doing the right thing, you know, by living the best, you know, having God in your life. Because I'm saying, I'm convinced that if you can have God and people that surround you, no matter where you are, work or whatever, you know, that they can sense that. And I've been, you know, I worked a lot of years, and that's one thing about one of my bosses. He made a comment, and I wasn't trying to be any better than anybody else, but we was having something, maybe potluck or something, Christmas, and some of them, I was like, Will Smith, I was trying to do what I was taught to do, and there was some time that I didn't even attend potluck because we didn't believe in Christmas. So anyway, that's be as made. But anyway, he was talking to this lady, and I don't know what we were supposed to have in prayer or what, but I can't remember. But anyway, he was telling her that he wanted me to do it because I'm a real, see, James was a real Christian. And I don't know where he got that from. But anyway, we are to have a life. We are to live. That's the way we should live. We should live. I'm finding out that you can't, like I say, you can't just make anybody do anything, but you can live a life to where you can bring conviction. Your life can bring conviction on people. And that's what that we do have that. We have that. We have that with us. We can live that way. And that's what I want to do. I want to live for God. And I found out this is the best way. I'm just telling you like it is. This is the best way. I don't matter what other people are saying. This is the best way for them concerned. And I'm convinced. And I'm thankful today that we are in a place that we can learn more about the Lord. And we can live for Him. We can you know, just, you know, this is it. You know, for you can, I'm not looking for another place. You know, I just want to get close to the Lord. You know, I want to get close to the Lord and live to where He's pleasing. You know, Jesus said He came to please His Father. You know, He wasn't trying to please mankind. Paul tell us, you know, don't be man. You know, it's Peter, Paul, they all talk about that. You know, don't just please man, but please the Lord. You know, I will to live as unto the Lord. You know, if we please Him, then everything else will fall into place. You know, if we begin to please God, then everything else will fall into place. Especially among people that's trying to live for God, they'll fall into place. So I'm so thankful today that we feel this good spirit here today and good worship and conviction spirit to where God is touching hearts, and I appreciate that very much. You know, that's one of the things about church. It should be that way, you know. It should be that way. It should bring conviction. It should cause people to want to get close to God. And that's what I feel here today. I feel like God, you know, is wooing us to get close to Him. You know, get close to Him. And our relationship with God, you know, we're to tune it up a little bit. Tune up our relationship with God. Get close to Him. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful today that we have that opportunity to do something about our relationship with God. So it's good to be here. I don't know if we take it off from Brother Smith. Didn't take it off from that. Need to take it off. All right, so let's get ready. We're going to take up an offering and give to God. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just thankful today. This has been good for me. I don't know if it's because we didn't have church last Sunday or what. But anyway, maybe that has something to do with it, you think? I don't know. I miss church. I like this. You know, we're not playing. You know, like Paul said, we're not beating the bush out here. We're not just being there. We're not playing church either. You know, I know Sister Crow talked about them growing up, and these girls, they were playing church sometime. They got to playing church, and they got in the spirit. So anyway, you can play a little bit, but we're not playing though. We're serious. We're serving God. We are God's servants. And anyway, we'll get ready and pray as well. We know we got needs. Brother Smith already told us this morning that it's just get a last name is Arthur. I know. Pat Arthur passed away. There's people, Brother Smith's cousin, Brother Randy's mother-in-law. Is that right, Brother? Brother Randy's mother-in-law. He lost his wife. Now he lost his mother-in-law. So let's pray for the family in the area, in the Springfield area. And they had the service Saturday for her. But anyway, let's remember the family. Pray for all that's involved. And any other needs I might mention. Anybody else? Sister Gail. Sister Elsa. Remember to pray for Sister Elsa. All right, Sister Sandra. Scott. All right, remember Scott. Pray for him. All right. Okay. Sister Holly, she's helping Matt. Remember her today. All right. Anybody else? Sister Lisa. The friend. All right. All right. Sister Abraham. Your family. All right. Remember Sister Abraham's family. All right. Any other requests? All right. Who that you pointing at, Matt? Okay. All right. Sister Debbie. All right. All right. Sister Dorm. Your sister? Okay, remember her. Pray for her. All right. Okay. Now let's, I guess, we'll do the offering. So I'll stand and take these requests to the Lord. Ask that God will touch his people. All right. Remember Sister Brian. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. You're so good, oh God. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to work and labor. Remember your people, oh God. These needs, oh Lord, has been mentioned today. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Oh, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your holy name, oh God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Praise your holy name, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
He can be depended on. He can be trusted. Even when
phone talking to somebody, and I was talking about the darkest. You can't explain how black, how dark, but yet peaceable darkness. I can't explain the darkness that I'm talking about. She was talking about how water can come up your leg, and you can live. It keeps coming up. And what amazed her, what she was thinking of, was even if water comes up to your mouth, as long as you keep your mouth shut, you can survive. But if it ever covers your nose, when you breathe in, you're gone. She was talking about how quick death is. You don't necessarily feel death. It's just over with. In fact, last week I was telling my husband, I'm an independent contractor, so that means I might do anything for anybody that pays the right amount if I want to do it. And if I don't want to do it, I don't have to, because I'm independent. And this woman that sends out the request for this one company, week before last, my Keurig coffee pot company, she had pneumonia, so somebody else had to answer my questions. And then I thought, Lord, this is the time of year to get it, but we're busy, and I feel sorry for her, but she needs to get on the stick. And then yesterday, when I went to report my work, the substitute said, we're sorry to report, she's dead. I thought, oh, my lands. That was just so quick. You know, I thought about what the person on the phone was telling me about this water and how it could come up. But if it covered your nose, you're just gone. You didn't feel death, you were just dead. And I thought when they were singing today, you can depend on the Lord Jesus. I can depend on him. No matter what's going on with me or with my surroundings or the water that it kept coming up, I was telling her how it covered my nose all right enough, but by then, how he swished me off of the tree during the flood is what I'm talking about. Washed me off onto another tree that was a little bigger, and I could hold on, and the water again was beneath my nose. And I thought on that, that when the time that it did get over up to my nose, and I was still holding on instead of being washed off, and how I began to drift. Just slowly, I knew that I was going away somewhere in this dark, darkest depth of darkness. I can't explain this darkness. It's you know how somebody say you can feel the depth, the fog? Well, you can feel this darkness. And just as, you know, when you go to sleep, you don't know you really went to sleep. You don't know when you said, you know, you knocked out. But when you woke back up, you know you went to sleep. Well, it was that kind of darkness. And then just way, way, way somewhere, I don't know where, there was this tiny fleck of light, just a tiny bit. And when I thought I was going to go, I got washed up again. And on this tree, and the whole time you were singing, I kept thinking of that today. He can be depended on. In the darkest night, there's a guiding light. He's there for me. He's been there for me. You know, as I've gone through death and gone through, not me dying, somebody else dying, but living through that death and living through birth and living through troubles and trials and tribulations and when I think I can't take anymore, when it's just too heavy for me, he washes me again. That's what I keep thinking of. How when I think it's over with and I'm about to go, he washes me again. He guides me. He takes me through and he relieves me. Even the sinner come out of the sinner to come out. That was sinner. His spirit washes me, cleanses me, gives me the opportunity, as I said on Wednesday night, to repent, to be allowed to try to do better. To try to work on that's not like him so that I can become as Christ. And my husband was talking about when we got married, we were not going to church. And we had a lot of trouble having, I was 2 years after, I guess. We figured, you know, we could not have a baby, you know, just forget it. You know, we've gone to the doctor and went through all kind of tests and, you know, all kind of whatever they put you on. You take this, you get off of that, and you try something else. So, you know, we just gave up, you know. So what? We're going to be this married couple without children. And I guess it was about married about 3 or 3.5 years, and I jumped off these steps at the same aunt that he was talking about that we went into church with. We were over her house, and she was getting her steps fixed. So up on the part where you walk down the steps, I jumped off because there wasn't any steps there. I didn't want to walk around to her front where the steps were. And I hurt the bottom of my stomach. Oh, I thought I hurt the bottom of my stomach at least. And I went to the doctor that week because I just kept hurting. Now I was 3.5 months pregnant. Thought, I don't know where that comes from. But anyway, that shows, I'm saying, when you think you can't go any further, you think it's not going to happen, God comes through. And we had this little boy, and he was all right, even though I jumped off the steps, he lived. And then 3.5 years after that, we went through the horrible, terrible flood, and then he was gone. Then I was no babies again. And he brought us through. I'm saying, no matter how many ups or downs that I go through, if I just hold on and believe that God's in control, he washes me through. He brings me again. He washes me to a higher level. Each time that I was in this water, and by the way, I couldn't swim, and I'd catch onto a tree or branch or whatever to hold on to, and he'd wash me. It was a little higher tree or a little higher a twig or a little higher something every time. And that's the way it has been in my walk with Christ. My husband said that I was Baptist. He didn't want to tell you. He didn't want to be Baptist. He didn't want to go to the church. Well, even though he would go and visit with me a little bit, you know. But I didn't go visit with him, Church of God in Christ, because he didn't go anyway. His parents was going, so I figured I didn't need to go. And then I had heard all these things about Church of God in Christ, those people speaking in tongues and all that stuff, holy rollers rolling on the floor and all that stuff. I didn't want to go see that. So we went to the Baptist church every now and then. But my aunt, who was oneness in Free Pentecost, well, she wasn't Baptist and she wasn't Church of God in Christ, so we agreed to go with her. So when we went with her, and God is everywhere. I have no doubt in my heart that God is not everywhere. It's a matter of who he's bringing out of where he is, but he's there. And he blessed me, and I got the Spirit of God, and I thought I had the Holy Ghost. My husband said I didn't have the Holy Ghost because I didn't speak in tongues. Well, I told him he didn't know. He didn't speak in tongues either. But he was from Church of God in Christ, and he did know about speaking in tongues. So God kept blessing me. We kept going to that church because it wasn't Baptist. It wasn't Church of God in Christ. And I was sitting on the front row, and I was sitting right by my aunt, and I said, and I was trying to tell her something, but I couldn't tell her. And she said, be quiet. Don't be talking in church. We're right on the front row when you're talking. But I wasn't talking. I was about to talk. I was trying to tell her. Something was in my throat. Okay? But she wouldn't let me tell her. She told me, be quiet. Stop talking. You've met her, Sister Nichols, that come here sometimes and visit with me. She's still Free Pentecost. I've brought her lots of times, lots of years. What I've been here, 34, 35 years. She still can't see it, but that's all right. She loves the Lord, and she got me this far. And she said, stop that. Well, the lady that was up ministering said to my aunt, leave that child alone. The Holy Ghost is all over. And I began to speak in tongues. I did not tarry for the Holy Ghost. I'm saying God washed me. He brought me up further. Look, he washed me to that point where he let me be there and receive the Spirit and think that I had the Holy Ghost. And he washed me to allow me to stay there and receive his wonderful coming of a secret I want to see. He let me receive his Holy Ghost with the gift of speaking in tongues. And he washed me. He let me stay there, and we worked in that church, and we did all that we could do, and we took people in the cars. We had two different vehicles of people. My husband said that the Lord was blessing us, and he really was. And we used both those vehicles in his service. You know, I carried people to church. He picked up a group of people to the church. It was a mission, so everybody had to work together. And everybody there, if you went to church, everybody had to testify to get it to be a service, you know, because there wasn't that many people. But God allowed us to work there, and he washed me to a point where I wanted more. I wanted to, that there had to be something in his word. There had to be an answer to some of the questions that were not getting through to me, and I desired to know more about his word. I knew that had to be more than what I was receiving, but how in the world did I know that? I have no earthly idea. But God knows that there was more, and I desired more. And I began to seek the Lord. And I was, it was like a window there, and you're standing there washing dishes, and I could see more. But I didn't know what I could see, but I could see. Like the darkness that was so dark, I could touch the darkness. Well, I could see. I don't know what I could see, but I could see that there had to be more to what I was searching after, but trying to gain, but not know what it was I wanted. And God led me to this group of people. He washed me. He kept washing me up. Every time God brought me, he brought me higher, higher in him. And he brought me to this body of Jesus. And he brought me to a people that could answer my questions. He brought me to a place where I could truly be washed in his spirit, utterly colluded by the Son of the Lord. He brought me to a place where I could be taught, where my mind could be purged, where I could be clean, where my spirit could receive of him. And that washing by the word, hallelujah, is what I plan to dwell in until he brings me to that point where he wants me to be. And I praise him. I thank him and I lift him up. I glorify his name because he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You'd tell how God led you to this church while you're up. Yeah.
Well, I was washing dishes, and over the sink that was in our window, you just looked out, and every time I was washing dishes, there was this place, but I didn't know where the place was, and it had three streets, but that didn't make sense. I thought I was losing my mind, so I called Blue Cross Blue Shield, my former manager, and I asked to come back to work because I was going crazy because that baby couldn't talk. It wasn't this one. It was another one. And he was always quiet, and I thought, well, I'm losing my mind because I don't have anything to do during the day, you know, that to keep my mind flowing. So I went back to work at Blue Cross. But in the evenings, that didn't help. Going back to work didn't get it off of me. I still felt this heaviness in the church that we went to. There was a morning service and evening service. But at 1 o'clock, we were still in the morning service. I was in the wrong place. And I look around because we believe in evil spirits. We are here, but y'all. So I look around because I thought somebody had come into the building or something had changed about the service. But I couldn't figure out what it was. And this happened several times. But at 1 o'clock, well, I began to see these three streets still. I was still losing it, you know, even though I'd gone back to work. And I asked my aunt, the one that I was telling you about, Sister Nichols, her husband worked in yard work. So he used to drive out this direction. And he said, there's this one place out Asher. If you keep going the street wise, and there's three streets in one place. And that's out there, you know, Colonel Glenn. Well, now it's two because they changed the name. But it was Asher, Colonel Glenn, the stagecoach. And I told my husband, something is going on. I mean, I was losing it. I was going to church every night of the week except one, trying to find this place that could answer my question. I went to 21st and Bragg. I went up North Little Rock by the railroad. I went to any kind of church with any kind of name that had anything to do with, I got that quick. The Lighthouse, Gospel Lighthouse. I don't know how I forgot that. But Gospel Lighthouse, anything that had to do with that, that's what I was searching for. And there was all kinds of teachings, but in any of these places, none of them answered my question, and I wasn't satisfied. So I told my husband, we've got to go out Asher. We've got to find this street that has three streets in one spot. And, of course, he didn't really want to, but when he took his load home and I took my load home, we got in one car, and he brought me out Asher, and we were going out. I was looking for this place that had the three streets, and everything we passed by was denominational churches. Now, I knew I was not going to the denominational church. Somehow I knew that already because we were in Free Pentecost. And we went out, and there was nothing out there but woods, trees, and old raggedy buildings. And I thought, what in the world? These three streets. And then when we were going back, my husband said, we've got to go back because I'm running out of gas. This is ridiculous. So we had gone so far, way out there in those trees and still not found anything. So coming back, there was this old building. You know our building, other building. And I thought, I don't know why, but it didn't have Gospel Lighthouse on it. But something about that building, I felt better when we passed that building. So when we went to church that night, we went ahead and went back, and we were in the service and all. I knew that they had a service that Tuesday night, but we had Bible study at our other church that Tuesday night. And I told my husband, we just can't go. They just got to find another way to get there. We've got to go to this church. Well, we went to this church, you know, that I saw the three streets, and we passed by. I saw this building, and I felt something about it. I came in, sat down at the back. Brother Wayne McGowan came back there, and I started asking more questions, and you can shake a stick at. Didn't wait for any answers, just asking questions. But I felt like I had an answer. Didn't hear one, but I felt like I had an answer. Brother Tucker was out of town at a meeting in Belfuge, and that weekend, that must have been a Sunday night that we came here, because Brother Tucker was out of town, and he had asked Brother Lacey Hawkins, or his brother Clyde Hawkins, to pray with him that God would send him a black family, because he wanted a black family in his church. So, and by the way, every time they did something to me after that, I told them they couldn't do anything because Brother Tucker prayed for me. Every time I had to, they had to bide with me because Brother Tucker prayed for me. Anyway, that night, we had to come back that Tuesday night. No, that was a Sunday night, because that Tuesday night, Brother Tucker wanted to meet me. And I talked to Brother Tucker, and I asked him. Now, then I heard some answers. Brother Wayne might could have answered, but I don't remember listening to him because I was too busy asking. He was trying to evade stuff. Do you have, what did I ask? Do you have foot washing, or do you have take the communion? I don't know what it was. You know, so he was doing these evasive answers, okay, to keep from telling me anything. But I didn't matter because I was thinking I was in the place. So Brother Tucker began to, he said, I want you to come back. Bring your husband back. My husband would not come back. He said, you go right on. And for 6 months or the year, 13 months, he'd go down, we'd go down the street, two different cars, he'd go to the left and I'd go to the right. For 13 months, just me and my baby came by ourselves, and that's how God brought me here.
I'm praying for more black families. I am. I'm not just saying that. Brother Tyler, I tell you, I told him, I said, there's too much culture in this city for us not to be reaching into it. I'm also praying for Hispanics. We don't have a Spanish family. I want one. Two or three. Sister Linda, but I'm not counting her. She's Tex-Mex. I'm wanting the real deal. No offense, Sister Fisher, but we need some. I'd like to reach into some Spanish speaking people and Asian. I think, we need Joseph's coat of many colors here to reach into our communities here. So help me pray that way. Good testimony, Sister Tally. She can preach if she gets loose.
Appreciate this covering that we have today. Appreciate what God's doing for us and among us. I thought, as Sister Tally was speaking, there's some more to her story that she's probably not aware of. And after she'd been here a while, she let Brother Tucker know that they needed a roof on their home. Needed a new roof. Did he know anybody that done roof? Well, Brother Tucker was very much an opportunist. Anytime he had an opportunity to save somebody or to deal with them, he would jump on it. Brother Tucker called my brother and I. We were doing roofing at that time. He said, I want you to go over to Brother and Sister Tally's and roof their house. And he said, I want you to do a superb job. Because he said, I want to win Brother Tally. He said, that's what I want to do. So my brother and I went over and we did roof their home. Each day when we finished the day, while we cleaned up all the shingles that we'd scraped off their home, we cleaned them up. You wouldn't have been able to have found a piece of shingle as big as a nickel on their yard after the day was finished. We cleaned it up. I mean, we got it done. And then shortly after that, Brother Tally started coming to church here. I don't know if we had any influence on him or not, but we sure tried. But here they are here today. And Sister Tally, I'm not sure I could answer all the questions you was asking me. Like you said, you was asking them so fast. Anybody here knows that Sister Tally can talk fast? She was asking those questions just about as fast as she could talk. So yeah, I wouldn't have time to answer them anyway. But we're certainly thrilled with Brother and Sister Tally. I've learned to appreciate them so much through the years. And Sister Tally's not aware of this, but she was over our kitchen for a number of years. And I'm going to tell her something now that she's never heard in her life, as far as I know. But I've had leg problems for a long, long time. And I found a place there in the kitchen one day. We was in a meeting. I mean, everybody was doing four or five jobs, you know, everything was going fast and furious. And I had pulled out a chair and sat down there at the table to give my legs some rest. She come in there and caught me. She said, Brother Wade, you ain't got a job? I got a job. Come on with me. And I got up out of that chair and went with her. I wasn't about to tell her that my legs hurt, and this is the first time she's ever heard about it. She took me into the kitchen and stood me at the stove there with a big old long spoon in my hand. She said, I want you to stir this pot. And she said, I'll be back in a minute. She took off. I stood there and stirred that pot. Just kept stirring it. After a little bit, when she come back, and she added something to that pot. Don't ask me what it was. I just know that she did. And she said, keep stirring it. I'll be back in a minute. And she took off again. Well, after a while, she come back and she put something else in that pot. And she said, keep stirring it. Took off again. Well, after a while, she comes and she said, well, it's done. I said, okay. This was the first time in the years that she'd been here that I really got to work close to Sister Tally. I told my wife, and of course some of you ladies that know what I'm fixing to say here know that I'm right. Some ain't got a clue, but I told my wife, I said, I learned something about Sister Tally that I didn't know. She said, what'd you learn? I said, I learned that she fixes a meal in her mind. I said, she's running this kitchen completely in her mind. Everything is so-so, and I said, it's done in such a way. I said, when it's all done, it comes off at the same time. I said, don't ask me how to do that because I ain't got a clue. But I said, she can do it. I watched her. I got that much out of that experience. Well, there's several other times down through the years after that that I got to work close to her again. And she's one of these type of people that grows on you. And Brother Tally, he's just so nice and easy. And I know she's fixing to say, now, you don't know him like I do, right? But anyway, I've come to work with him and our band down through the years, and I tell you what, I think they're precious people. But I thought also, here's something that, she's talking about all these questions she had in her mind, and when I come here, I had those same questions. I wanted to know so much. I wanted to know about the Godhead. I wanted to know about resurrections. I wanted to know about everything. I want to know what happened to a person when they died, where they went, if they went anywhere. I just had questions one right after another. When people come in here, we've got such a different vocabulary. Our terminology is different. It's like when you're talking to a brick mason or a block mason, laid a lot of blocks in my lifetime. There's a top and a bottom to a concrete block. A lot of people may not realize that. You just look at a concrete block, and, well, it looks like a concrete block. But there's a top and a bottom to a concrete block. The bottom is more narrow than the top is. It's wider at the top. But if you're not familiar with that, when you're talking to to a block mason, you know, he's got a different terminology. A person that finishes concrete has a different terminology. When you're talking about concrete, you know, he's going to use terms on you that you're not familiar with. A person that builds a home, builds houses, he uses terms that we're not familiar with. And this church, when people come in here, we use terms that people are not familiar with. You know, we can jump up and say, I'm so thankful to be in the body of Christ. And you can see the emotion that's involved in that statement. But until you see it, until you feel that you're among God's people and among the greatest thing that he has in the earth, you don't know what we're talking about. And I've thought through the years, especially more so in the last few years, as to how God wants us to get it to such a degree. And maybe he doesn't want us to. I don't know. I've been trying to figure that one out too. Does God really want us to get it so simple that everybody can understand it? Or does he want to still yet keep it to such a degree that, you know, I believe that God wants to be in every one of our lives. And I think he's in our lives. And I told Ann the other day, I said, I really believe that God does more for us than we give him credit for. We were driving home the other night, she and I were, coming to an intersection, and there was a car, went around me on the left-hand side, and I just had this feeling that guy is fixing to cut across in front of us and make a turn. So I slowed down. Sure enough, he did. I told Ed, I had a feeling that guy was going to do that. But I believe that God can talk to us and deal with our lives more intimately than we really think he can. I know that in my life, through the years, I've done a lot of open road driving, and I've been in situations where that if something besides my own thinking had intervened, I wouldn't be here today. I've been run over in my lifetime. I told my brother a while ago, I said, Paul, I said, if anything ever happens to me, I said, ask him. You know, is there any broken bones? Is it hurting his back? I said, if they tell you he just hit his head, you know, Brother Daniels, I'll take this for you. If they just tell you that he fell and hit his head, you just tell them that he'll be all right. That's been tested and tried. You know, back years ago, I was run over by a tractor. And, you know, and it wasn't one of them little garden tractors. It was a pretty good-sized tractor. 135 Massey Ferguson, which is not the biggest one by any means, but it was big enough. And the rear tire of that tractor ran over my head. I had on a pair of glasses, and the rocks made dimple marks in the frame of those glasses. Didn't break them, though. Well, I went to the hospital. It also ran across my legs. Those rocks left dimple marks in my legs that I had to have stitches for, but I didn't have to have stitches for my face or my head. I thought when I was under the wheel of that tractor that it, you know, how many of you have ever taken a watermelon seed and put it between your fingers, especially when it's wet, and mashed it? You know, it'll squirt out from between your fingers. Well, that was the picture that I had in my brain while that tractor was on top of me. That my brain had just popped right out of the top of my head just any second, and that would be the end of it. Well, that tractor got off me, and I determined that I was still alive, and the next thing that was behind that tractor was a baler. And bad enough to have a tractor run over you, but you don't want a baler to run over you too. So I got up and moved, laid back down. My thoughts was this: well, I would probably pass out. Didn't do that. Probably be kind of dizzy or, you know, nauseated. Didn't do that. Probably sick at my stomach. Didn't do that. And my mom come out to where I was at, and she asked me, she said, "Son, are you all right?" I said, "Yeah, Mom, I'm okay." I could see the relief on her face, and to this day, I'm still thankful for the God that He didn't keep the wheel off my head, but he picked up enough weight that it didn't pop my brain out of the top of my head. Now, to show you how much weight was there, after I went through this ordeal and come back, went back to work, and working in the hay fields, I had a flat on that tractor tire. I took it off the tractor and rolled it up into the back end of my pickup truck, and it flopped down sideways, blowed out both back tires. When that thing laid down that bed of that truck, it blew them both out. My Lord. My head must be more solid than those tires are, because, you know, it didn't blow it out. But nevertheless, I'm here today, and I'm thankful for it, and I've been here ever since. I've been here before that and ever since then. But it lets you to know that we have experiences in life, and I'll go back a little further than that. When I was just a small child, my father and mother lived with us out in the country. We was out in the boondocks. My brother and sister Foster also lived in that same area. Only thing is, they lived further down the mud road than we did, or down the dirt road. In the wintertime, they would hook a tractor to the front end of their car, drag it from their home past our house, and they had to drag it out because the road was so muddy until they couldn't drive it out. They had to drag that car out to the main road. They'd park the tractor, get in the car, drive into town to church. And anyway, my dad seen them doing that. Every Sunday morning, they'd, you know, Sunday morning, Wednesday evening. Every time it was church night, that was the same procedure in the wintertime when it's all wet and muddy. My dad seen that. And told my mother, he said, "Whatever they have, I want some of it." And so the time came that, sure enough, we got ready one day and went to church at Brother and Sister Foster's church. That's when I was first really introduced to the body of Christ. And it's far enough back until I don't even remember how old I was. But time went on, change took place. We ended up in Little Rock, and the history of the church in this area kind of went awry. A little bit of everybody come through here and tried, and, you know, I grew on up a little older. And then Brother and Sister Tucker come to town. And supposedly, I mean, she told me this, and I don't have a clue whether it's true or not. You know, English was not one of my best subjects in high school. Guess you can tell that by listening to me talk. But supposedly she came out to our home one night, her and Brother Tucker, and sat down with me and helped me with my English. Now, if she'd have helped me with my math, I would have remembered that, because I liked math. But I didn't like English. But she's, you know, she told me later in years, she said, "Do you remember the night I come out and helped you in English?" I said, "No, ma'am, I don't remember that." But here we are in the body of Christ, and I think in my heart, my dad, you know, as I growing up as a teenager, we wasn't in church. But he kept telling me, he said, "Son," he said, "God's got a people." And he said, I said, "If he's got a people," I said, "Where are they at?" He said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Well, how will I know them?" He said, he said, "When you walk in the house, you'll know them." And I'm a teenager. I mean, you know, never been around the body that much, and I didn't know what he was talking about, to be honest with you. I really didn't have a clue. But finally the day came that Brother Tucker come into here, come into town, and when he first come to Little Rock, he's out and they were holding services at Brother Sister Foster's home. And Brother Foster and my father remained friends all through those years. And he come to my dad one day, he said, "Austin," he said, "there's a man coming to our home." He said, "I think it'd be good if you'd come over and listen to him. He might have some of you be interested in listening to him." Well, at that time I was dating Ann, and we was going to her church. And I say that because, but it basically was mine too. That's the only church I went to at that time. And I was seeking the Holy Ghost and wanted the Lord in my life. And then, so my dad got ready. He and Mom and the rest of the family got ready and went to church over at Brother and Sister Foster's. And I got ready and went to Jacksonville where Ann was going to church, went in with her. And when I come back home that night, I said, "Dad, well, how was it?" He said, "Son," he said, "I think that you would like what I heard." I said, "Well, what'd you hear?" He said, "Well," he said, "I think you're just going here for yourself." My dad was a strange man in a lot of ways. I said, "All right." So the next Sunday, I made arrangements with Ann. Went to church Sunday morning out there at Jacksonville. And we left there and come into Little Rock, service over at Brother Sister Foster's. Sat down there, and Brother Tucker got up and started talking. And there was something pricked my heart. I could tell I was at home. Well, I had a lot of problems then, because my wife didn't hear any of it. She didn't feel none of that. Or wasn't my wife at that time, but we were engaged to be married by that time. And we, you know, she still had her church, and I had mine. You can go there if you want to. That's all right. And I'll go with you. But I said, "Don't expect me to believe what they're believing." I said, "Okay." You know, that works a little while. But it won't work forever. It just won't work, I'm telling you. You know, you're going two different directions, it's like, just time to tell you, you know, she made a right turn, but the time she made a left, that would not have worked forever. But here, you know, I heard things. Sister Ann and I got married. Brother Tucker finally moved here. We were still going to two churches. We was going to Jacksonville Sunday morning. We was coming to Little Rock Sunday evening. And then most of the time, I'd go back to Jacksonville Sunday afternoon or Sunday after the services because we had cattle to milk, chickens to feed and what have you, fed the cattle. And so they were called evening chores, you know. Wasn't anything, I mean, you know. But I tell Dad and Mom, I said, "If y'all staying for service tonight," I said, "I'll take care of the evening chores. I'll go home, milk the cows, strain the milk, put it in a nice box. I'll take care of all the evening chores. And y'all stay in service, stay in Little Rock." Well, they agreed to that several instances, several times. finally, the time came when, and I'm still seeking the Holy Ghost, still trying to get the Lord deeper in my life, or getting deeper in God. And I come to church. We went to church at Jacksonville first. They was talking about the Holy Ghost. The pastor there was talking about the Holy Ghost and how good it was. And, you know, we come into service with Brother Tucker, and he got to talking about the Holy Ghost. I got to wanting it so bad. I thought, Lord, I'd really like to have the Holy Ghost in my life. I really want it. I went home. I've told this a few times through the years, but cattle, if you're milking them by hand, of course we wasn't rich enough to have machines to milk our cows with, they've got a couple of tendencies that if a person doesn't know about cattle, it'd pay you to know about it before you start milking one. One is they'll try to kick you off your stand. You know, if you're milking them and you pinch them wrong or something, they'll kick you off the stand, off of whatever you're sitting on. Some people had milk stools, you know. I mean, but we didn't have milk stools. We wasn't that rich either. We had 5-gallon buckets that we sat on, and those cows would kick you off that bucket. And if you didn't hold the milk bucket just right, they could kick it out of your hands, spill all the milk that you'd milked. And then another tendency that they had is they would pick up their foot and set it forward just enough to be right on top of your foot. Well, that afternoon, you know, I had work shoes, and then I had dress shoes. And I had gone in and just pulled my dress shoes off and went barefooted out into the yard to do the milking with. This cow set her foot right on top of mine. And that's not all they'll do. Once they get the pressure applied, then they twist that foot. Whew. Lord. I mean, you know, it was bad enough that she's swinging her tail around and hitting me across the face with cuckoo in her tail. And those are going around. You know, I don't know how it is that a cow can have a tail that's so long. You never had this problem, I'm sure. But it would start wrapping around your face, and them cucklebirds would catch you right across the eyes every time. And, you know, I contended with that for a while, and then she set her foot on top of mine, and I thought, Lord, I really want the Holy Ghost tonight. I really do want it. So, believe it or not, I squelched what I really wanted to do, because, you know, I knew how to take my left elbow and catch that cow right in the flank, and I could lift a pretty good sized cow off the ground. You know, you learn how to deal with some problems regardless of what size you are. And at that time, I probably weighed about 130, 135 pounds. Anyway, I got the milking done, got the chores finished, got in the car, got cleaned up and dressed, went to church with Sister Ann that night. They started having church. The preacher got up and was trying to preach, and I thought, Lord, you know, I mean, there's several other things that took place. I'm going to leave those out, but he started trying to talk, and the more he talked, I think the more it felt like it. He was filling his mouth with cotton. He just wasn't getting anywhere. Finally, he made the statement. He said, if there's anybody here that wants a baptism of the Holy Ghost, I thought, my Lord, that guy's got a revelation. I was the first one out of my seat headed for the altar. That night I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Shortly after that, Brother Tucker moved to Little Rock, and we become full-time members here. He got up and talked one time on a subject, and I can't remember now the subject. My wife might be able to tell you. But I heard him. I mean, I listened to him. I got it down verbatim. And we left here, started home. I went through that subject again with her. she didn't say a word
all the way to the house.
Of course, I was doing like Sister Tally said, I was talking. We drove halfway across the culvert that led into our yard. The car was sitting on it, you know, front end on one side, the back end on it, just coming out from the street. She said, I want you to shut up. One of my dumb moments. Do what? I want you to shut up. I said, what's wrong? She said, I've heard that all day long. I am tired of hearing of it. I don't want you to say another word about that. You hear me? The wind went out of my sails. My ship came to a halt. And I said, okay, okay. Anyway, it wasn't long after that until we was having a service, and she got up to testify. And she was going to say, I don't remember now how she was going to put it, but she started saying, this is it. This is it. This is it. And the more she said it, the more emphatic that she got. And she finally, I knew then that God had been dealing with her heart. So we've been here together all these years. But still yet, I'd still like to find in my heart and in my vocabulary the words to bring it down to such a place. I don't want to make it so simple that everybody in the world can come into it. But I'd like for you to know that we believe that we found the body of Christ. We found where Christ is working among a people. You know, and for me to just make that statement, it sounds simple. It's not hard to understand that I believe I found the body of Christ. But for you to really know, for you to really know that I believe it, you've got to find it too. You know, Brother and Sister Tally, I can commute with them all day long. They know exactly what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about Christ, about His great restoration of His church, when I'm talking about His great plan of salvation for humanity, when I'm getting excited about what I feel on the inside, they know what I'm talking about. Because they have the same feeling. They know. They have that same excitement. My brother and Sister Crow do too. I know. You know, I see her get up and she start talking about what God's done for her. Did I come unplug on you, brother? But when we're talking, you know, wouldn't you like to be able to tap into everybody else's feelings? Wouldn't you like to be able to feel what they're feeling? Wouldn't you like to, and then on top of that, Brother Smith was saying here Wednesday night, he said, I really am just talking to myself and y'all are getting to listen in on the conversation. My dad told me back years ago, he said, you know, I'd walk out to where he's doing something and he'd be talking away, you know. And I'd get to looking around thinking, who in the world is he talking to? You know, I'd look behind the machinery or whatever it was he was working on. I'd finally break down and ask him, Dad, who are you talking to? He said, well, son, he said, I'm talking to myself. I said, you're talking to yourself? He said, yeah. He said, it's okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't get any answers. I thought, okay. I found out here in the last few years, and I do a lot of talking to myself out there. Some of you folks walk up on me, you're going to think there's somebody else there. Because I'm talking to myself. And Brother Smith, he was telling us here Wednesday night, I'm talking to myself, and y'all just getting to listen in on it. I thought, my Lord, and Sister Ann and I went home. We were still thrilled about what we heard, and it was just simple talking to himself. Talking about what God, you know, what would it be like to really tap in and be in Christ and have Christ in us? What would it really be like? You know, what kind of feeling would you have? What kind of experiences would you have? Sister Ann and I laid down just before we went to sleep. She was talking to me. She said, Wayne, said Brother Smith's talking about the great thing that's going to take place, and how that God's going to have a people that really have the great things that He has for them. She said, I'm wondering how in the world are we going to get there? How are we going to make that kind of trip? You know, how are we going to qualify for that? I told her, I said, Ann, I said, do you remember back a few years ago when we had those two experiences? I said, you had one and I had one. Yeah, she said, I remember that. I said, wasn't it a great experience? She said, oh, yeah. She said, it was. I said, that was just a little bitty, bitty piece of what God has in store for His people. I said, He gave us a real small taste. And I don't know about you folks, but you know, my wife makes homemade rolls that are some kind of good. And if I was to just be handed one little bitty piece of that, I'd be thinking, what in the world is wrong with you? I want the whole pan. I don't want just the rest of this roll. I'd like to have a shot at the whole pan. If God can qualify us, here's what I'm trying to say. If God can qualify us for just a little bitty taste, don't you know that He can increase that experience and He can qualify us for that too? You know, if He just doubles what we had. That feeling that I had, that experience that I had, stayed with me for weeks. First time I'd ever had that kind of experience, Brother Smith. I could be sitting in my shop, nobody around, and just get to thinking about what He's done in my life, how good He was. It just start boiling up from way down deep and just overflow. Run out my eyes. Woo, hallelujah. Still feeling good from it even. My Lord, my thoughts is this. My Lord, if that is just a little bit of what's in the bucket, I want the rest of the bucket. Yeah, I want some more of this. I'm telling you folks, it's worth the trip. It's worth it. Woo, my Lord. I'm feeling gooder and gooder and gooder. To know that God's got something in store for us that is going to make it worth everything that we've ever put into it. If we worked 100 years on this and passed away, resurrected and worked another 100 years, it'd still be worth every bit of it. Hallelujah, it'd be worth every bit of it. Ah, Lord. But you know, sometimes we could look around us and kind of get disheartened. We could. You know, Brother Smith was talking to us in Bible study this morning how that we could look at the negative side, you know, think, well, look at all the empty seats we got. Must not be anybody really interested in the gospel anymore. You know, not only do we have empty seats, but some of the people that should be here in those seats, they're not here anymore. You know, it must be that we're losing out with God. Must be that He's not doing anything anymore. Maybe we should just give up and go to the house. I don't feel that way in my heart and in my life. I don't think that way, Brother Smith. I believe that God's still doing something today. I still believe He's working on His building. He's building a house. And He's still working on it. You know, when I first started, I heard this message about overcoming and being a bride member. And I thought, well, I'm kind of like some of the rest of you folks. I thought I'd have that down pat for pretty short order. Well, it's according to how you measure short order. You know, my short order at that time was that, you know, 3 or 4 years I'd have this done. Well, I have changed my definition of short order. We really... We really want to recognize the fact that God's working on it. He's the one that's working on this. He's the one that's bringing us to our final stages. He's the one that's washing us to higher ground. Hallelujah. And we're probably going just about as fast as we can stand it. I think that if we could go faster, I think God would bring us up faster. But there's a time period that he, really there's not just a time period, God's always in charge. God's in charge all the time. He's always been in charge. He'll always be in charge. He's the main one. You know, he's got the final say. But my definition of a short time has changed. You know, let's see, I'll be 70 years old in a couple of months. And, you know, from a 4 or 5 year old standpoint, I am an old man. Yeah, I mean, I'm really an old man. And maybe not even the 4 or 5 year olds. I may be up 15, 20 years old, or, you know, up close to 30. Some of you look at me and say, my God, Brother Wayne, you said you're an old fella. You really, really are over the hill. Yep, I'm over the hill. I'm on the downhill side now. But when you compare my lifespan of 70 years, if I make it, you know, that far, which I think I am, up to Methuselah, which lived to be 969 years old, according to the scriptures, I'd say that I probably just lived a short period of time, wouldn't you think? So it's kind of the way you look at things. So some of the rest of you know that's not quite that old yet. Got something to look forward to. And these young people around here got a lot to look forward to. I thought, Lord, help us to get this thing to such a degree. And Brother Smith, I think it was, asked the question this morning, didn't you? Could God take you? Could Jesus take you and build a church? I've thought about that since he asked that question. And I know a lot of us, knowing what we know, would probably jump up and say, oh, no, I don't think so. But we have to remember that Peter was a man that pulled out his sword and cut a man's ear off. I want you to know this, that he was not aiming for that man's ear. And then Paul, he killed, or had a lot of people killed that were serving Christ before he was converted. I have this, the reason I'm saying that is this. Those men back there were people, just like you and I are people. The only difference that I can see right now between them and us is they got the Word of God directly from Christ. Brother Smith, you got a lot of shoes to fill. And I can tell you right now, I'm not complaining about what he's been sharing with us. Because I've enjoyed it. I'm enjoying the ride. I'm enjoying everything that we're feeling. And I think he's probably putting it out as fast, at least in my case, as fast as I can take it. You know, that's what, I mean, God is that good a God. He won't put more on us than what we can stand. He won't put more on us than what we're able to do. But we are a people, we're children of God. You're his child. You're the one that is called to be a part of his people. You've got a great calling in your life. Hallelujah. I've got a great calling in my life. I'm here. I'm a part of what God's doing in the earth. Thank God. Hallelujah. Bless his wonderful name.
This is the way the Lord showed me to go. This is the way that satisfies my soul. So stay around a while and become as a little.
Spirit, so I hope you receive something. I really am glad to see Sister Tiffany's mother here again. Appreciate her. I want to hear more of her testimony. I know the Lord's used her in years gone by, so we want her to share it with us. All right, dinner's ready, and I appreciated the good words of Brother McGowan today and Brother Tally and Sister Tally's testimony and the songs and the good Spirit of God that we felt. Hannah, where's Hannah at? That's that little Holy Ghost-seeking girl. She... Is today your birthday? It is. Did you get the Holy Ghost today? You don't know yet. Well, you'll know when you know for sure, you tell us. You'll have another birthday. All right. Well, the Lord did touch her. She had stammering lips, and she spoke a little bit in tongues. It's just precious to see God doing that for a child. And Sister Rochelle's little granddaughter was up here getting prayed for. Was it her mama that got the Holy Ghost when she was four? How old are you? You're five? You're running behind. You're going to have to get in here and get busy. All right. Next Sunday... let me encourage everyone to stay and help after dinner clean church. Find something you can do. I'm going to try to work on getting a list so everybody's got a job to do. I think we'll do better that way. But if you'll help out, we sure appreciate it. And then next Sunday, the youth also today are having a service. What time... Y'all going to try to have that? 4 o'clock? Is that what y'all are saying? So, but then next Sunday, we'll have regular service, but it's potluck day. It's potluck dinner, though, also. Well, are we bringing it for everybody or potluck and it? Yeah, okay. So different ones already know. What I'm trying to announce is Brother Michael Crafton and Sister Julie Lacey are getting married next Sunday after the service. So, you know, I didn't know if this would work out, but we got them to hold it off long enough to get to know one another. And they know, they've learned one another enough to know whether or not they think this will work. And they're still, even though they found out that, you know, there's a few rough edges on each other, they still feel like they can help one another smooth them out. So we're just going to have to pray with them and believe with them and trust with them. So Brother Mike said he needed a lot of prayer. Anyway, he really said she was going to need a lot of prayer is what he really said. That's really what he said. Said everybody really need to pray for her. He just meant he's the one that had the most rough edges. But I'm sure she'd like for you to pray for him too. Anyway, so at the close of the service next Sunday, we're going to, you know, we're going to watch the Lord put them together. And so I guess that'll be the wedding after Brother Phil's Sister Chelsea's. Hadn't had one since there. Sister Chelsea, how's Brother Phil doing? A few rough edges still, huh? I told him I was going to ask him how you was doing, but he said, don't do that publicly because he said, I don't want to tell it. No, he didn't say anything like that. I'm just kidding. I know he'd say you're batting 100, and he's still on 99 and a half. Anyway, let's pray for the food and ask God to bless it. Dear Lord, thank you for your goodness. God, for your grace, your blessings, our fellowship, Lord, the food today and those that prepared it. Bless each one. God, go with your children. You're so faithful to do. We give you praise. Amen. All right. Hope everyone stays for dinner. No church tonight at 5 since we're cleaning and the youth are having service downstairs.